We're finishing up 2 years and 2 months of study of John's Gospel, and we started study of John's Gospel in 2019, month of July. How many of you were there? If you were there, could you say amen?
Amen.
Just that many people? I'm going to ask one more time. 2 years ago, July of 2019, you were there. Could you say amen?
Amen.
It's been 2 years. And my question to all of us is, what is your resolve after studying this book of magnificent Gospel of John for 2 years and 2 months? What is your resolve? Is there a resolve? If not, I ask you to think about it, because next week we will be finishing up study of Gospel of John, Lord willing, with 100th message, okay? I think there is a little bit of intention there, but, you know, we're finishing up with 100 messages. And my resolve is what I'll be sharing today and next week. After studying Gospel of John for that much of your time, what is the outcome? What is the real thing about Christianity? What is your real thing about Christianity? Do you have one? Do we just come to church and just kind of do the same thing over and over again without any intention, without any direction? It just doesn't make sense, right? So I do ask you to think about, what is your resolve after studying this gospel for 2 years? And for today, the title of the message for today is, Lord, You Know Everything. Okay. Could you look at the title? You Know Everything. When you say you know everything, what does that mean? How much does He know? How much does Jesus know when He says you know everything? It means He knows everything. Okay? That's what it means. He knows everything about everything and everyone, everywhere, every time. That's what it means. Now, that's pretty intimidating if you know someone like that. And if you were to confess, you know everything, truly confess that, what does that sound like? And I thought about it. It sounds like you're surrendering your life. You're surrendering your life. Have you surrendered your life to Christ? I'm serious. Have you surrendered your life to Christ totally? Not partially, not sporadically. But have you surrendered your life to Christ totally? That's what we just sang today, right? Just now. I'm going to trust you. You know, next week's title is Follow Me. Okay? And that's my resolve. And I think that's that just fits as the final title of the final message. After studying this gospel for 2 years and 2 months, and I just come to realization that that's the way it started, and that's the way it is going to end. Follow me. Are you following Christ? You know, truth of the matter is, you are following something. You all are following something. You may be following just the way of this world, or you may be following Christ, but you're all following something. You may be following your marriage. Marriage is the priority, okay? Or your career is your priority. Something you're following, and what makes you follow that? You follow what you treasure in your heart, what you love the most. Isn't that what we talked about last week? Do you love me? Jesus' final question is, do you love me? Do you agapao me? Is that the prime love of your life? Whatever your prime love of your life, you're following right now. Okay? Jesus is someone who knows everything. He knows your inside. He does. He knows your outside. He knows your past. He does. And He knows your future. And He does. All the way to the end. Okay? He knows your thoughts. He knows your actions. He knows your plans. He knows your intentions. He knows even your inclinations and likes and dislikes. He knows everything. He knows your true intention as well. Not only that, and he knows about everyone, about everything, every time. He's omniscient. That is why Jesus is God. Now, wait a minute. Isn't that where we started in the beginning of the book? John 1:1 states, in the beginning was the Word, Logos, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus. Jesus is God. That's how it started, and it ends with, he knows everything. He knows everything about you. Okay? That's the introduction. And by the time John, Apostle John, the author of the Gospel, wrote this book, it was around AD 90. Would you stay with me? Because that will make a difference. AD 90 is about 60 years after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. 60 years went by. 60 years went by. Okay? To put things into perspective, you know, 1776. 1996, U.S. celebrated 200th independent Day of Independence. Now, it's been about... So about 45 years has passed. Sorry. And John outlived all the apostles, and John saw small sect of Judaism, which is called Christianity, started as a small thing, the followers of Jesus, and it just kind of spreads for next 50, 60 years all throughout Roman Empire. Can you picture that? He saw it. He eyewitnessed it. He experienced it. Even under the persecution, even under the all kinds of like horrible stuff going on in Roman Empire, Christianity, like a bonfire, right, was just spreading all over the world. And he saw that. In this last segment of the gospel, Simon Peter is being reinstated publicly. Jesus already showed up to Peter on the first day of resurrection. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We see that. They already met. But now what Jesus is doing is Jesus is restoring and reinstating rather publicly before other disciples or the later on to be apostles as the leader of the apostles. Why is that significant? Can I just ask you to think about this? What happens after John's gospel? Book of Acts. A new era begins in church history. Jesus came, Son of Man came, he died and resurrected, and he ascended. What happens after that? He sent the Holy Spirit. We are living in the era of the Holy Spirit and the church. That's what's begin. And Jesus, who knew everything, is preparing for the time that is coming. Who's going to lead this newly birthed church? Right? That's what happens in the first chapter of Book of Acts. After his ascension, Holy Spirit came upon the 112 believers, and Peter preached, and then 3,000 people came to know the Lord. The church was birthed. The time of church and Holy Spirit began, and who's going to lead that? Simon Peter. And that's what he's preparing. It's kind of interesting, if you read this last chapter of John's Gospel, chapter 21, it's rather evident that this chapter, whole epilogue, remember I've been talking about, if you look at this, treat this as a movie, I think a masterpiece movie, right? Like Schindler's List or kind of movie. It begins at the Sea of Galilee, and it is ending at the Sea of Galilee. It begins with people catching nothing, and it ends with people catching nothing. And it begins with Jesus' miraculous catch, and it ends with Jesus' miraculous catch. It begins with Jesus calling people to follow me. Now it ends with Jesus calling people to follow me. It's a masterpiece, right? But if you look at chapter 21, it's rather evident that this whole chapter, epilogue, deals with mainly one person, Simon Peter. Interesting, isn't it? That's intention. Okay, that's the way John put together the Gospel of John under the help of the Holy Spirit as the Gospel of John. Right? And John, the author, saw Simon Peter lived after that memorable morning. We've been talking about this morning, right? Sun is rising in the Sea of Galilee. And they try to catch, you know, fish, and they caught nothing. And Jesus' instruction, throw your net to the right. When they obeyed, it was such a big catch, right? Since that morning, when Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And that's the question that I want to ask you, all of you. Is your Christianity about loving Jesus? I'm serious, people. As a shepherd of this church, as I see what is going on in the world, as I see so many people exodusing the church, you see that, don't you? Right? I'm asking all of you. And resolve of this study of the John's Gospel, I want to ask you, do you love Jesus? And that's the question Jesus asked Simon Peter. To humiliate him? Hardly. We talked about this before. Who would you ask this question to? Do you love me? Do you ever ask that question to your spouse? Do you ask? I mean, if you don't know, I don't know. I mean, I don't think so. I don't remember asking my wife, do you love me? It's rare, right? But if you ever ask this question, it'll be very selective. You would not grab anybody and ask this question, do you love me? You know, you don't go out in the street and grab someone and, do you love me? They'll say, get lost, buddy, you know? That doesn't make sense. But if you ever ask this question, do you love me? Who would you ask this question to? I think if you were to ask this question, you would ask this question to someone you love with your life. Someone you desire to hear he or she saying to you, yes, I do. Otherwise, I don't think you will ask. And God, who knows all things, omniscient, is asking Simon Peter, do you agapao me? What's the dynamic? If you get that question, you have to look at that person. It depends on who that person is. If it is nobody asking this question, you don't even have to answer. But if it is someone who loves you with his life or her life, you have to look at that person. Your gaze must be upon him. And that morning, Peter's gaze was upon Jesus, who loved him and gave himself for him. That's Christianity, people. That's what it means to live as a Christian. If you don't look at him, if you don't see that, you do not live Christianity. You don't. It may be a religious Christianity, but it is not Christian faith, I don't think. But that morning, Peter saw, and his gaze was upon Jesus, who is the good shepherd who laid down his life for him. He's the one who loved him and who gave himself for him. What is Jesus doing? What is Jesus doing? By asking the question, he's pouring his love, assuring, affirming his love to Peter, isn't he? Isn't that what he's doing? And my prayer is, you would do that every morning. I love that song we sang today. Oh God, you are my God. I will seek you in the morning. Can I just ask you, how many of you seek God in the morning? Could you say amen? Oh, God bless you. Jesus said, come and have breakfast with me. And I do believe that's what he wants. Come and have breakfast with me. And by grace, I shared last week, when I was in college, I used to get up early and used to have a little devotion, time of devotion. And that was the passage. Lord just spoke to me. And it wasn't a missionary calling. It wasn't a pastoral calling. But that morning, I still remember, it was in my Cardozo building. I don't know whether you know. Cardozo building, window open, And I was reading John chapter 21 that morning. Lord really spoke to my heart. Do you love me? And I just cautiously said, yes, Lord. Feed my lamb. Feed my lamb. Take care of my sheep. Feed my lamb. And that morning I said, yes, Lord. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to live for. That's what I want to do. And I still do, people. Okay? So that morning, ever since that morning, Peter lived another 30 years leading this church, Jerusalem church, and Christianity, and boldly proclaiming gospel, resurrected Christ. And one day, he's going to spread his arms, and he's going to give his life. And John saw that, and he's writing this. So in other words, what John is doing is not only he is like kind of, you know, writing down what he remembers, he saw all of these. He saw the life of Simon Peter, for the next 30 years. And plus, so he's like witnessing. He's an eyewitness of person's life, a life of Simon Peter, but more importantly, the faithfulness of Jesus. What he has said that morning came to true 35 years later. Okay? That's what's happening. John the author saw Simon Peter lived out after that memorable morning at the seashore of Sea of Galilee. And approximately 40 days later, after Jesus ascended, Holy Spirit descended, the day of Pentecost, and the church was birthed on the same day. And who's going to lead Jesus' sheep and people? Simon Peter. Now he is reinstating him publicly. That's what's happening right now. Okay? Picking up from last week, actually, I want to read today's text. I'm just going to read from chapter verse 17. The third time Jesus asking Simon Peter, do you love me? Verse 17. He said to Simon Peter the third time, same question, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? This time he used the word phileo instead of agape. Do you love me? And Peter was sad, grieved, because he kept on asking for the third time, do you love me? And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, listen to the way he answered this question. You know everything. You know that I love you. Notice he said, you know twice. First time, second time, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. And this time he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And then Jesus go on to say this cryptic prediction of his future. He who knows everything gives him the prediction. It's cryptic, but let's see what happens. Truly, truly, I say to you, it's Jesus speaking to John, Peter, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. Isn't that natural? Of course. When you were young, you did whatever you want to do, as most of you are doing right now, right? But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. A cryptic prediction of his future. Okay? But you will find out this is the greatest encouragement that Peter has to live with for the rest of his life. Okay? And then there is the editorial of the author. John writes in parentheses in verse 19 what that means. This Jesus said to show what kind of death Peter was to glorify God through his death. Okay, close parenthesis. And after saying this, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. That's the final word. Follow me. Okay? So, Jesus asked the same question, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? I mean, you know, we would rarely ask that question. If we ever ask that question, it'll be very, very selective. And it must have been kind of awkward if you consider the circumstance and situation. Especially Jesus, who knows everything, asking, keep on asking Simon Peter, Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? So Peter was kind of grieved and saddened because Jesus was asking. Then he answered, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. You know what? I think Peter learned something. Peter learned that Jesus really does know everything about him. He said, remember, just a few days ago, you know, he was so adamant about it. Lord, even if all these guys run away and disown you, I'm not going to disown you. Okay? I think he meant it, though. I think he was passionate, loyal, and courageous person. He meant it. Okay? And then Jesus said, no, no, no. That's not what's going to happen. In fact, what's going to happen is before the rooster crows twice, you're going to disown me three times. Do you see how detailed that prediction is? Remember we were talking about it? All these, some of the, one of the great thing about the scripture is the great details are fulfilled. Jesus' garments were shared by soldiers, drinking, sour wine, things like that, right? Which was predicted years ago. And Jesus said, no, no, no. Before the rooster crows twice, you're going to disown me three times. Do you see how detailed that is? And Peter said, no, 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 I don't think you know me. I am not going to disown you. He said rather emphatically in Mark chapter 14, he said, even if I die with you, die for you, I will never disown you. Jesus, you don't know me. I am not going to disown you. Okay, guess what happened? Just a few hours later, it wasn't even a soldier with a sword. It was a little slave girl asking Simon Peter, you're one of them, aren't you? It was just a little girl asking, Simon, you're one of them, aren't you? You are Galilean, aren't you? And he was so scared that he goes, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Not just casual, I'm not, but I swear to God, I don't know him. Literally, that's how he disowned him. I use this example. Can you imagine Paul and me? I don't know whether he feels the same, but I feel very close to Paulie. Okay? Can you imagine Pastor Paul Park disown me? Swear to God, I don't know him. And as soon as he disowned me, and I look at him, can you imagine the experience? And this is 100 times more, 1,000 times more. The experience Simon Peter experienced that morning, at the courtyard of the high priest was the worst kind of human experience that you could feel about yourself. You feel like a dirt. You just disowned someone who has loved you for years, someone who's been teaching you, someone you've been trusting, and you just disowned him like miserably and failed about yourself, especially after he kind of like saying basically, no, I will never do that. I will never do that. You have my word on it. Jesus, you don't know me. I am not going to fail you. And then like that, he felt horrible, right? So he felt horrible about himself. And he felt guilty. And to him, Jesus came, and he's reinstating him. That's the epilogue of John's gospel, preparing him for the upcoming era of church, preparing him to lead God's church, right? That's what's happening. So Simon learned, boy, Jesus knows everything. He knows everything. Even to the detail. Simon Peter learned that Jesus is God, Jehovah, who knows everything. Do you follow? That's what's happening. Okay? So Simon learned that Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, was a divine being. Lord, Yahweh, who knows everything. Can I just tell you? He knows everything about you. He knows everything about your past. He knows everything about what you're thinking. He knows everything about your future, even to the detail. Before the rooster crows twice, you're going to disown him three times. You know, Tim Keller always shared the gospel is this. We human beings are so much more wicked and worse and just terrible than what we could ever imagine. We human beings are. And yet his love for us is so much greater than we could ever stretch our imagination and imagine, and that we know of. That's the gospel. Do you understand that? That's the gospel, people. We are so much worse than we could ever imagine that I am. And yet his love for us is so much greater than we could ever imagine that how much he loves us. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knows everything about you, and he loves you. And he's going to keep you to the end if you are in Christ Jesus. I cannot speak for that for everyone, but if you are in Christ Jesus, okay? So he knows everything. So Simon Peter knew that and found out about that. Lord, you know everything right here. And Jesus said to him, feed my lamb and feed my sheep. What does that refer to? The church. How many of you love God's church? Would you say amen? Wow. This is so encouraging. So much louder than 10 o'clock service. How many of you love the church? Could you say amen? Wow, this is exciting. Because without God's grace, we will never the church, never love the church, God's people. We will not. You know, we tend to not to care about it. So many people have a wrong concept of church, wrong ecclesiology. So many people teach now that, you know, churches are so corrupted, you could worship God at home through YouTube. That's completely off the Bible. In fact, that is not possible, right? Scripture clearly teaches that we are members of God's church. You know, we have a communion table, and we're going to read that passage later on. Jesus said, you know, here's my body broken for you. Take it and remember me. Remember me. And someone explained that word like this. Remember is like remembering, like in your mind, of the past or the future, because it goes both directions. Remembering what happened, remembering the promise. But someone explained that remember could be used like remember. You need to come to be a member of God's church. If you have been walking around, kind of like cruising around on the periphery, doing your own thing, dressing, you know, getting dressed for yourself and going wherever you wanted to go, not following the leading of the Spirit and Christ, you need to be remembered. That's what communion is. It's not just liturgical stuff, right? Somehow mysteriously you could be cleansed by, you know, this bread and juice. It's not that. Right? You want to be remembered to the body of Christ. And my illustration is this, and I don't know how it's going to work for this, but I used to practice dentistry with this hand for 17 years. And, you know, God used this hand to work and to produce and make money. It was a useful hand. Okay? But this useful hand is severed and hanging over there. Apart from me, what use this hand would have? It doesn't have any use. Okay? I guess it didn't work. But you get the point. Unless you are membered to your body, you're pretty much useless. You understand that. At the same time, the body is without a hand. So we are called to be a members of God's church. If you find yourself, if you think you are on the periphery of the church, you're in a wrong place. You need to come to the center of what the Spirit is doing. Can you say amen? Okay, thank you. All right, so now I want to go to that cryptic prediction of what's going to happen to Simon Peter. Verse 18, truly, truly, I say to you, Simon, you love me, right? Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Good, feed my lamb. But this is what's going to happen to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, that's his past, right? You used to dress yourself and you used to walk wherever you wanted. In other words, you are totally on your own. You're autonomous. You're self-sufficient. There is no me part of you. But when you're old, now your life is in Christ. When you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you. Oh, that doesn't sound very self-sufficient, right? And another will take you where you do not want to go, okay? And that's what's going to happen to you. And that's a cryptic prediction. If you were to hear this about your life, about your future, would you be encouraged? Would you be encouraged? You, at first glance, you probably say, no, I don't think I'll be encouraged. But if you look at that, that's the great encouragement that Peter's going to live for the rest of his life. Okay? Let's look at it together. Okay? Jesus is restoring Simon, pouring his love. Remember that. He's pouring his love. Christianity is standing upon his love for you. And you do not want to diss him. You want to respond to his love. That's Christianity. Responding to his love. Do you agapao me? I agapao you. Do you agapao me? I agapao you. Okay? So in other words, Jesus is pouring his agape love in Peter's heart, reinstating him in front of the disciples as the upcoming leader of the church era. And then he's entrusting his precious commodity, feed my lamb, take care of my sheep. And this amazing prediction, just like a few days ago, before the rooster crows twice, you're going to disown me three times. Now this is what's going to happen to you. He knows everything. He knows everything. When you're young, you used to dress yourself. When you're young, you used to go wherever you wanted. Some of you may be there right now. You do whatever you want to do. There's no Christ in your life. There is no obedience. There is no following. And there is no walking with Jesus. But when you're old, listen to this. Here's the encouragement that Peter lived for the rest of his life. You see, when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. What does that mean? In ancient term, it refers to crucifixion. So Jesus is predicting that you'll be crucified. Okay? And another will dress you. Why? Because you will be arrested. You'll be imprisoned. And carry you where you do not want to go. To the cross. Okay? Stretching out your hands, ancient expression of crucifixion. Another will dress you, and you will go where you do not want to go. In other words, instead of you living your self-sufficient, autonomous life, you'll be led by me. And you will be following me. And you will be continue to obey me. That's what Jesus is saying. And then there is an editorial. Verse 19, this Jesus said to Peter to show what kind of death he was to glorify God. Okay? It sounds cryptic. It sounds intimidating. It sounds scary at the time for Simon Peter. But for Simon Peter, who wanted to give his life, do you remember? That's what he wanted to do. Lord, even if these people disown you, I will never disown you. I will give my life for you. He was so courageous that he took out a sword in front of the legion of the Roman soldiers. People say, oh, that's a foolish thing. No, it's not. That's his courage. He wanted to fight for his master. Nobody else did, but he did. He took out a knife, sword, on the night when he was about to be arrested, and he was swinging that sword and cut the right ear of this named Malchus. Do you do that? Do you do that? Are you courageous for the Lord? Are you loyal to the Lord? Are you passionate for the Lord? Simon Peter was. Simon Peter was. Right? But he learned that His confidence was way blown out of proportion. He was overconfident about himself. To that Simon Peter who was guilty and felt really, really low about himself, Jesus came in saying this and giving this prediction. Let me ask you, how did Simon Peter do since then? Does anybody know? Okay. Whatever happened to Simon Peter since then, right? It was predicted that he's going to grow old. He's going to keep his faith. He's going to follow. He's going to obey. And he's going to die for Jesus. That's not bad, right? How many of you want to grow old for Jesus, proclaim and die for Jesus? Could you say amen? You know, I don't know about some of you who are young. At this point of my life, there's only one prayer that I have, that I want to be sharing the truth until the end. I don't want to lose my mind and speak about different things later on in my life. So many people do. So many people do. But my one prayer is, and I really mean it, I want to be able to share Jesus and God's truth until the end. That's my prayer. It really is my prayer. Okay? I don't think that's a natural thing. I don't think that's something that comes like naturally. It has to be the Lord. It has to be the Lord holding on to your life so you don't say two things with one mouth. You understand that, right? Peter died in Rome around AD 64 during the reign of Nero. Yes, his hands were stretched out, right? And basically someone else had to dress him because he was arrested. And someone had to tie him because he was imprisoned. And he was carried to a place where he did not want to go. He went to the crucifixion. Yes, he gave his life for Jesus. Okay, I found this little article in ChristianityHistory.com or something. What happened to Simon Peter? According to Tertullian, Origen, and Eusebius, state that Peter was stretched out by his hands, and he was dressed in prison garb, and he was taken where no one wanted to go, a crucifixion, and was crucified. But that's not the end. He was said to be crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to be crucified in the way that the Lord Jesus had been. So he was crucified upside down. Can you picture that? If you Google it, you'll find that this bold guy, Peter was bold. I don't know whether that's true or not. And he was crucified upside down. Basically, he said, if my Lord and my God died for me like that, upright, I am not worthy to die in the same way. So would you crucify me upside down? And he was. His head was on the ground. His arms stretched out. His legs were up here and nailed. And he was crucified in his old age. What does that sound like? He kept his faith. And he died for the name of Christ. He became the leader of the newly birthed God's church. He was the spokesperson, leader, and the preacher. For the next 35 years, Peter was faithful to the Lord. And John saw this for the next 35 years and another 30 years and writing this gospel, testifying the faithfulness of God's word. I don't know whether that brings encouragement to you. Lord promised to his people, until the end, I am with you. I am with you. Okay? I know he who began the good work in me will carry it on till completion, until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That brings confidence. Now here's really, really something for you to think about. Peter lived the next 35 years with this prediction in his heart. Do you think that worked as an encouragement, or do you think that worked as some sort of huge burden? I'll leave it up to you. For the next 35 years, he lived with this word of Jesus. When you're old, you're going to stretch your arms, and you will be taken where you do not want to go, and someone else will dress you, but your death will glorify me. You know, when I think about this statement, I think it brought so much clarity and encouragement to Simon Peter's life. Do you? Should I go this way? Should I take this job? Should I marry this person? Should I date this person? So many things things will come along the way, right? For next 30, 40, whatever the years you have and I have. And what will be the thing that will bring you to the right place? I think this will be. I live for him. And I want to finish by verse 19b. And after saying this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." Are you following Jesus? I want to just finish this message before the communion. What does it mean to follow Jesus? From John chapter 21, it meant loving Jesus more than anything else in your life. That's following Jesus. If not, you are not following Jesus. It's loving Jesus more than anything else. More than your studies, more than your hobbies, more than your spouse, more than your children, more than your dream, more than anything. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Okay? More than your fishing business, more than your friends, family, your mother, father, your wife, your studies, more than anything. That's what it means to follow Jesus. And that's the reality of the matter, people. If you're not, I'm not sure whether you're following Jesus. You may be active in church. You may be participating in different Bible studies and whatnot, even discipleship, but you are not following Jesus. Also, it meant from John chapter 21, following Jesus meant feeding and shepherding his church. Isn't that what Jesus said to Peter? Feed my lamb, take care of my sheep. Well, do you have to be a pastor to do that? No, I don't think so. There are so many people who needs to be fed with God's word, God's love, and God's counsel and God's way of life. Sunday school needs shepherds. Youth group needs shepherds. Bible study groups need shepherds. All these people we are trying to reach need shepherds. Are you feeding? Are you tending? Okay. It meant feeding, shepherding, his lamb, his sheep of the church, or the people of God. And also it meant stretching out your hands. In other words, take up your cross, people. Are you taking up your cross, the purpose of God in your life? If not, you are not following Christ. Jesus made it very clearly in Luke chapter 9. If anyone would come after me, follow me, you must deny yourself. You must take up your cross. You must take up your cross. You have to stretch out your hands. In other words, you have to obey. Otherwise, you are not following. Right? For Peter, stretch out your hand. The cross literally meant that another will dress you, not yourself, not your autonomous, whatever, you know, I want to live whatever kind of life, but rather, Spirit of God, and God is leading your life, and you're being obedient to him. Are you living the life? That's what it means to follow Jesus. It is not very unclear. Oh, the world is so attractive, so hard to be a Christian. Does it sound like that person is following Jesus? You answer, right? Is that all? No, there's more. One more. Verse 19b, by his death, by his life of following Christ, you glorify God. Remember what Paul said at the end of his life? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race marked off for me. And I have kept my faith. Are you keeping up your faith? I'm serious. So many people are leaving the church right now. I'm not talking about this church. Church. So many people, our worship is not that important. It's not. Right? Are you following Jesus? Okay. Is there more? Your whole life of following is to glorify God. Do you know something? Death of Peter glorified Christ. And Bible says in Psalms, death of saints brings honor and glory to God. Because he's the one who's going to keep your faith. What kind of resolve do you come to? All my life, ever since my college, I think the key word is follow me. Follow me. Are you following? Please look at me. Are you following? I'm speaking to you as your shepherd. This imperative has been the most compelling statement in my Christianity. Follow me. Am I following Christ? Are you following Christ? Follow me, Jesus said. Do you agapao me? Feed my lamb. Don't diss me. Follow me. He's pouring his love onto you. Right? Can I just remind you? He knows everything. He knows everything about you. And he loves you. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, people. Okay. Don't turn your face away from him. Follow me. And that's going to be the final message next week. Follow me. That's my resolve, by the way, to follow him. Let's pray.